And we are here talking with Master Sergeant Tommy Meyer. He is with the Missouri State Highway Patrol Troop G, and we're doing our Back the Blue interviews right now, which should give people some more perspective on what it's like to be in these positions. Now, Tommy, are you doing okay today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, very glad to have you here. How long have you been with the Missouri State Highway Patrol?
Just about 9.5 years.
Okay, so almost a decade. That's a lot of time to put into one profession. Do you see it differently than you did when you first started?
Oh, absolutely. When I first started in Springfield in Greene County. And you didn't really, there was so much stuff that you could go and stop and arrest people. And you really never took the time to slow down and to actually see the person in the car. And I know personally, for me now, since I've gotten back home to West Plains, spent a lot of time in Carter and Reynolds County, you actually take time to have a pleasant conversation with somebody on the side of the road and to actually get to, in a sense, get to know them for those 4 or 5 minutes instead of just on to the next car. But work-wise, of course, a lot's changed. So when I was in the academy is when Ferguson happened, the riots in Ferguson. And so it's just slowly been evolving. You know, we serve the public, and whatever the public, however the public wants to police us or to get policed, we have to somewhat reflect that. Not all the time, of course. You know, we're still going to do our things, but with the patrol, we try to stay really proactive and not reactive. We try to look into the future to see what the public actually needs from us. But I mean, it's constantly evolving. From, we have our public order unit, our riot teams, that we train quarterly, and it's always changing.
So I know I've got a little bit of, I guess, tertiary knowledge of emergency responders and stuff, and a big thing that they always teach whenever you're going into these types of professions is that you really have to stress you are meeting people on likely the worst day of their life. Now, is that a teaching that you kind of have to take to heart whenever you are meeting these people? Is that something you have to take into account regularly?
Well, absolutely. I mean, nobody wants to be stopped by a trooper, because usually they're speeding, or they've been involved in an accident, or we're coming to their house to tell them that a loved one is dead. You always have to keep that in mind and not to take anything personal, to show, one of our core values is compassion. And to always show compassion, always show respect, which is another one. Even if we're getting yelled at, you know, we're getting cursed at, yelled at, they're having most likely a horrible day. And we are there to potentially make it worse for them. And don't let your ego get in the way. Just realize that our 5 minute to 10 minute or even longer hour interaction, we will forget about it generally at the end of the day, but they will not forget about it, maybe forever. So just be, you know, always show that compassion and that respect for that person you're contacting one way or another.
Now, and I know that can be difficult as well for people who are involved in these situations. You know, I remember being in non-emergent medical transport, and sometimes you work the job, you run the same things, same issues, same problems over and over and over. Let's say it's somebody going to the hospital and you're not sure whether or not they're there for genuine reasons, you know, and it's easy to feel jaded in a lot of ways. And so it can make that difficult. What do you think are some of the most common issues that rattle you as somebody who's in the employ?
I would say one thing that rattles me personally, and rattled may not be the right word, but one thing that does stick with me is any time you're investigating any type of crash that could potentially become fatal.
Mm-hmm.
Your roadside, you show up, and thankfully there is EMS there, and they're obvious injuries, potentially critical, and you have to acknowledge that patient, get what you can from them, and then try to put that in the back of your mind while then you go investigate maybe a crime or investigate the crash. And then when they get transported, you may not know, is this going to be a fatal? Am I going to have to go tell a loved one that, sorry, your husband, your wife, son, daughter has died, especially anything with kids. You know, once you have kids, everything changes. But just usually those incidences generally crashes where you know that it's probably not going to be too favorable and you're really hoping it works out well. And
avoidable tragedy.
Avoidable tragedies. And then you go home and sometimes it is hard to put that out of your mind and to just not think about it. But I know that's one thing that sticks with me.
What's one thing that you could tell the public in order to kind of help them along in their lives from the perspective of your position?
I know it's maybe hard to hear, but whatever, we don't take anything personal. So please don't take it personal when we encounter you. You know, we don't want the public to think that we're picking on them, because we're absolutely not. It's a job for us. We don't go out of our way to pick on a certain person. If we stop you, it is solely a job, because like I said earlier, we're going to go home and generally move on with our lives, because this is not our life. This is a job that I would say the vast majority of us enjoy. We love. We didn't get in for this for the money, because we do want to help people. But when we go home, we're taking off this uniform and it's not personal. So if we do issue a ticket or we do arrest you, it is absolutely not personal. And it'd be nice. We often get yelled at generally. I mean, daily, I would say we get grief. We get yelled at. And, you know, it's just a job. Please. Like, I know what we may have done. Or not what we've done, what you've done, it may affect your insurance. It may affect your job, but we did not make you speed. We did not make you drink and drive. We did not make you run that stop sign, get on your cell phone. We are just here because you did that and we caught you. So please don't take it personal. Don't take it out on us. We just want to conduct our traffic stop, conduct our investigation, conduct our arrest as smoothly and efficiently and with no issues as we possibly can. And just, it's nothing against that person, ever.
Now, just as a bit of a speculation before we break away, I know that statistics are kind of showing that we're kind of on the higher numbers, at least in comparison to last year, on fatalities and whatnot, whether that is boating or traffic fatalities. Why do you think that is for this year?
Well, I think one, I know it's kind of an easy cop out to say COVID, but you know, this, well, maybe our second full summer of, without COVID restrictions. So I know that's getting a lot of people out.
The rubber band is snapping back.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know, when it comes to those reasons, it always is speeding. That's one of our biggest issues. You know, I would say you could probably talk to each trooper and they can go out and write 30 speeding tickets a day. And we'll always do our best to lower those fatalities, but people are still going to speed. And I know that's one huge issue. And then the other, obviously, is driving while intoxicated. You know, people start having a couple drinks and then that judgment starts going down the drain. And they think they're okay to drive and clearly they're not. And then they, you know, those are where you're going to have those late night wrecks. I know we just had one over in Reynolds County. Mm-hmm. I know we've had, had one in Barry County. We've had a couple in Barry County actually just recently with impaired drivers. You know, another reason those numbers are up are seatbelts. You know, in Missouri, it's a $10 infraction if you get a seatbelt ticket. And I'm not here to make the laws or to interpret the laws. We just enforce them. So we're going to write those $10 seatbelt tickets every time we can. And, you know, we just want to keep people, seatbelts keep people in the car. So when those vehicles start rolling, you don't get ejected. I don't have any statistics to back this up, but I can attest to some of the most recent fatals I've investigated involved ejections.
Yeah.
And once you leave a vehicle 60, 70 miles an hour and you're hitting pavement, you know, the odds aren't in your favor.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, people, whenever they talk about seatbelts, they always want to bring up, well, you know, I know this one crash where people would were better off when they weren't wearing it. But if you really want to break things down based on ratios and statistics, 9 times out of 10, you're better off having it than not. And the cases where you're better off not, incredibly rare. Like, I don't think that there are really that many cases where you're any better off. It's very few and far between. So even if you do think that that is a logical conclusion, it more feels like just an excuse not to wear the belt, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it is an excuse. I mean, I don't know the statistics off my head, you know, but I mean, I do know that seatbelts clearly keep you in a vehicle.
Yeah.
And if you're run off the road and you hit a tree, I would much rather take my chances inside of a vehicle with a seatbelt and an airbag than outside of the vehicle through a windshield and the ground. But I do agree that the people that say that, I feel like it's, you know, they heard it from a friend's friend who heard it from his dad.
Yeah.
And no one can ever tell me a specific case. And, you know, and when people want to say that, it's you just shake your head and say, all right, good luck. You know, I hope I don't show up on your wreck one day and having to investigate a fatal.
Yeah.